Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 16th. Of April, the day after you should have paid your taxes yesterday.
Yeah. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
We paid our taxes yesterday.
Ugh. I paid what was left of my taxes.
We have to. Mimi actually has to drive a number of miles to a specific IRS office to pay the taxes in person because somebody a couple of years ago did a phony baloney tax return on our accounts.
Oh.
And so they have to, now they won't take anything unless it's in person.
Even with a new P-10? You can get a P-10. I think it's called a P-10. Personal tax identification.
No, it's a complete disaster.
Oh, it's terrible. I think I'd make him come after me. That's terrible. Well, better her than you, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, I could be driving in too, but she's the.
You have HBO specials to watch, so can't be interrupted.
I got other things to do. I get missing shows.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about what's going on. Risk happens fast. All of a sudden, people are upset. With all the things that we had on the books already, it seems like everybody freaked out that now maybe this escalation in the Middle East, maybe Powell's more serious.
300 missiles.
300 missiles, one got in. And it landed as a dud. Costco is selling a lot of gold, a lot. I got a follow-up story on that. April 15th, tax payment withdrawals happened. By the way, many people really don't know this, but there is a correlation to the lead-up into tax day, the 15th, and the stock market, as there are oftentimes withdrawals, sales made up until that, and money comes out of brokerage accounts to pay taxes.
That would make sense.
Yeah, especially if you have a trust. Somebody has a trust, it's worth, you know, X amount of dollars. And, you know, you're like, well, who's going to pay? It's the old question. The accountant would ask you, do you want to pay the $5,000 of taxes due? Or would you like me to just get the trust to pay it for you? Yeah, make the trust pay it. So a lot of times it comes out of liquid or illiquid assets, and then it moves it right into the coffers of the tax department. So
yeah,
interesting. Fewer students attending
shells to Ukraine.
Well, that's where it's going next, right? We should have just direct accounts like a PayPal account right to the office of the general.
That's my guess. Anyway, sorry.
Fewer students attending 2 or 4 year colleges. Markets now. Banks are reporting mixed results. We saw that there was some good news and bad news. Most of it looked like it was good news, as it always does. You know, Goldman Sachs beat by billions of dollars. Their earnings beat by, you know, 20% of where they thought it was going to be. Stock is up, then comes down. Or it was sideways, whatever. Morgan Stanley, that was ugly prior to earnings. We saw that Charles Schwab actually had a good number that was out. We have a few of these we'll review as well. Rates are up. Rates are really up. I'm going to tell you, they're surprisingly up. There was a moment last week when rates started rising a bit. And I looked at it and I said, I think I told you this too, that we could be breaking a technical resistance point here. And over the weekend, there was the shellings, the bombings, the drones, which scare the hell out of me, by the way.
And 300 missiles.
Yeah, they're all this going on, and Bitcoin takes an absolute dump, as did all the other cryptocurrencies on Saturday night. Like, big problems. Now, meanwhile, this is supposed to be digital gold, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, in fact, they should have gone up, shouldn't they?
It went down a lot. 8%, 7%, 20% on some of the smaller ones. But yes, I agree. So the question is, what happened? Why is this happening? It's because I have a secret. It's not digital gold. You know, it's not. It's a speculative asset that trades like the NASDAQ, and it trades on risk premium, and that's it. End of sentence.
But couldn't you also say that it went down because people were pulling money out to pay their taxes?
On the weekends? Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, had to get it out of there before Monday.
It's very possible, but all too coincidental. So maybe they said, oh, wow, at 9:30 at night, Iran is raining down missiles. You know what? I'm taking my money out to pay my taxes at this point.
Right? You can mock me.
I'm just saying. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
All right. Anything's possible. But rates did move up very significantly. And I thought that was really odd because it happened on Monday when we got here. Today's Tuesday. It 4.69% on the 10-year. Amazing. So rates spiked with all the recent concern that the Fed was not cutting rates so fast. And it came on the heels of the Iran retaliation worries, too, which is really weird because usually what will happen is you'll have a risk-off moment. When you have something like that happens, people say, okay, I don't want to be invested in risk assets. What I want to be in is safety. I want to be somewhere that's safe. So they run to the dollar. They run to the yen, possibly. They run to U.S. fixed income. They take money out of the stock markets. That is not what happened on Monday. On Monday, there was a sigh of relief that Iran said, hey, this is what we did. We sprayed Israel with all this, you know, all this, these bombs. And that's what we're going to do in retaliation of you coming in here and executing all these different people inside of our country from the Syrian embassy and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know the story, right? And that's...
Yeah, we've discussed it to ad infinitum.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bottom line to this is that they said we're going to do this. Now, hopefully for all of us, as crazy as it sounds, and some people may get mad at me, but maybe Israel will just chill out and say, okay, that's good. And we don't have to retaliate with that, which I...
Well, there's no evidence that they're going to retaliate anytime soon.
Yeah.
Saying a thing that Netanyahu said, we're going to do stuff on our time frame. Forget it.
Right. You're not going to tell us when to attack. You're not going to tell us when to defend ourselves. We'll do it. You don't tell us. So the spike on Monday to about 4.64% for the 10-year, that was really worrisome because this technical move just started. It did it again today. Not as much, but it stayed above there. Mm. And I'm not even exactly sure, to be very honest with you, aside from some of the data that's come in, there's no question about that, right? We know the data has been showing us that there's inflation in the system. That's number one. Number two, commentary by Powell today was pretty astonishing. And we'll talk about that too. So risk is off, missiles are flying, and everybody's concerned all of a sudden about the war. War is one of those things, by the way, John, you've been through a few of these. You know what goes on. What happens is people, small and big, people freak out. They take money out of the markets. Now, I'm not talking about world wars. I'm talking about regional wars. You know, things that are happening in various countries, whether it's, you know, upheavals in Myanmar or incursions with South Korea, North Korea, you know, these kind of things that go on, right?
Yeah, as long as it's not in Africa where nobody pays any attention, no matter how many people are killed.
Right. That's they're going to be a full civil war from North to South Africa, and nobody cares.
So it seems.
So with these wars, though, when it comes to the markets and risk on, risk off, what's interesting is that the risk off feature happens very quickly, but then dissipates. The idea of, oh, my God, what's going on? It's a surprise. It's terrible. And then it was like, it's over there. Over there. That one, you know, it's over there. And when it's over there, we don't pay much attention to it, like you said, with Africa. But that's like with everywhere. And in addition to that, people have the feeling and the belief that wars are temporary, because if they're not, what the hell, who cares anyway? But more importantly, perversely, wars are actually good for the economy.
Oh, yeah.
Wars are good business. I was talking to somebody in Oklahoma today. They go, we got a lot of places around here that are doing quite well as the budget for defense has risen dramatically. So, I mean, have you seen-
if Biden hadn't screwed up by just overspending and creating this inflationary moment in both fuel and groceries, and just gone with the war economy and let things go to where they should have gone, things would be looking rosy.
I guess.
That's my analysis. Yeah,
but you've seen this. We are the war machine, right?
Well, you know, it's the easiest way to make money, it seems.
It's a nonstop supply. It's like orthopedics never going out of business. You can cure cancer. You're not going to cure stupid. People fall and break them somethings, the elbows, their arms, their legs. They do things that are dangerous. They're not meant to human bodies to be slamming into a tree while you're skiing. But war also is something that's not going to end. Rates in Europe. Europe Central Bank President Christine Lagarde on Tuesday said the central bank remains on course to cut interest rates in the near term, subject to any major shocks. She said, quote, "We just need to build a bit more confidence in this disinflationary process," which, let's just stop right there. We just need to build a bit more confidence in this disinflationary process. Doesn't that seem like that's something that they're building a line of bullshit to prove their
sure
own point?
Sure sounds like it. That's a real good one.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We got to.
She's one of the best.
We got to make sure everybody's well convinced of this, and we do our job of hoodwinking all of you. But then she says, but if it moves according to our expectations, if we don't have a major shock and development, we are heading towards a moment where we will have to moderate the restrictive monetary policy. And she also mentioned for some reason that they're very attentive to the price of oil. What does that mean? They're very attentive. Why did that have to come after this? Because it is part of the inflation. So maybe they're going to say they can exclude oil from the inflation calculations if they get too hot. Because that's,
oh, there's an interesting observation.
Right?
That's a good one.
Yeah, we're watching oil very carefully. And, you know, we're starting to think that maybe oil isn't really as important because it's something that moves around. It's a noisy number. And we shouldn't include it in the core.
It is a noisy number. And I know the rationale is always, well, you know, it's already built into every other calculation. So we're doing the math twice. Right. We don't need to do it twice.
Right. And explain that. Can you explain that to people?
Yeah, the cost of a banana being shipped from Mexico to San Francisco is cost X amount of money, and a proportion of that expense is gasoline. So if you just look at the cost of the banana and it goes up 10 or 20%, that could be because of the cost of gasoline. So if you look at the inflation of the banana and then the inflation of the gasoline, it's redundant.
Yeah.
You've got the same thing worked into the calculation twice. So let's just take the gasoline out of the equation.
There's some sense to that, by the way.
I know. It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense the way you just described it. It changed my mind. No, but seriously, there is something to be said about, you know, having multiplier effects on this. But then again, there's also, you have to think of it as a constant. Maybe it's just a constant. And that we've always done it that way, so therefore you can't change how you're comparing it to, or, you know, they will.
Wow, that's a good point.
Right?
That's the counter argument.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like the numbers, though, just like we're talking about here, let's go over to England and see what they have to say about it, shall we? It says, the Bank of England on Friday announced a once-in-a-generation overhaul of its inflation forecasting following a long-awaited review. This is great. By former Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke. So Bernanke goes over there and says, hey, let me tell you how we did it. And let's see how we could retrofit this for you to make it look like not as much inflation. Now, the review is initiated in response to criticism over shortcomings in the bank's recent policymaking. It sets out 12 recommendations, including scrapping the bank's fan chart forecasting system, which BOE Governor Andrew Bailey said the bank was committed to implementing. So again, changing the rules once again and getting one of the greats to figure out how to short circuit and put it back together again and make it look like it's right, but probably with the impact of lowering inflation.
Lowering the inflation number.
Yeah.
So not lowering anything, really.
No. Just lowering the inflation number that you get as a voting party to make you feel better about the current presiding government officials to re-vote them back in.
Yeah, $5.50 a gallon for gasoline here in California.
Wow. Huh. What was the top last year, like $7.50?
Only in some, that was rare. It was pretty much, I think six, just popped, hit six a couple of places. The $7 and $8 gasoline was in some gougers down in the desert somewhere.
So $5.50 is still towards the high.
Oh, yeah. $5.50 is way too high.
That's like Latin America. That's like Asia.
Well, it's too high for the American public, which relies on cars for transportation. We're not all on bicycles.
No. Nope. We're not on sailing vessels either. So, inflation spot. This is a pretty cool chart. This is a chart that's being called sticker shock. Can you see that?
Yep.
Where the prices are still rising. And what this goes through is 12 months from March 2023 to March 2024. By the way, you can find all these great chart graphics, show notes, everything that you want to know about DH Unplugged, about the games that we play, the things that we do, the close to the pin, over on dhunplugged.com. This is episode number 698, almost on episode number 700. One of the OG podcasters that are still going strong since the 2000s. Early 2000s.
Maybe people can donate to the show when we hit 700 using that as a basis.
What I think that those people that have not donated thus far, of like, I'll do it next week. I'll do it when I get a good piece of information. Maybe you should think about 700 as a special event. Maybe you and I could think of between now and then, which is 2 weeks from now, something special we could do.
Just send an email out.
We can send an email out. That's good. We could also, I think that's your department. You're the writer.
Indeed.
You are the writer.
I is the writer.
Aren't you the columnist? Isn't that how this starts?
Columnist.
You're a columnist.
I'm a columnist, yes. I still do the column for Substack.
Yes.
I've worked at Substack.com. There Check it out.
We might as well talk about No Agenda. Why don't you tell them about that while we're at it, plugging things?
No Agenda, the news deconstruction podcast. It has no peers. It's every Thursday and Sunday at 2 o'clock East Coast time.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about inflation for a second. Sticker shock. Where are the prices still rising? Inflation, again, a 12-month range. The top is shocking. Motor vehicle insurance up 22% year over year. What the hell is that about?
Are they getting more wrecks? I don't know if there's any problems. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is profitability. They need to be more profitable. Motor vehicle repair, up 11%. You finding a trend so far? Hospital services, up 8%. Rent, up 5.7%. Electricity, 5.05%. Housing, 4%. Food away from home restaurants, 4.2%. Transportation, 4%. Now, all items entirely are up 3.9% on average. So those are the outliers above. Why don't you take the below?
Yeah, and then we go to education's. It's up 2.4%. It's already too high, so I guess that's they can slow it down a little bit. Food and beverage. Then now the rest of these are all regular. These are what they're supposed to be. A 2% energy, 2% gasoline. Ha, that's wrong.
Which one?
It says 1.3, and it's not here, not in California. Food at home. 1. I don't believe that one either. These are dubious.
This is only the 1 year, though. Inflation started coming down since then.
Okay, well, we'll go with that. But new vehicles are, and that are the used car business is backing off.
That is, yeah. That's why CarMax.
That's deflating.
Yep.
College textbooks is deflating. Television is definitely deflating. I look at check out TV sets when I go to Costco, and my God, they had like this 60-inch thing. It was a flat panel that was not bad. It was an off-brand, but it wasn't bad. But it was a 60-inch monster for like $350.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's like, wow. I mean, I'm a big believer in spending the extra money and getting an OLED because they're spectacular and they're super light and they're that's what I recommend. But I'd have to say that if I was on a budget, I'd definitely be looking at that $350 mm-hmm. set. Mm-hmm. Airline fares is down for some reason. Toys down. Of course, it's off season. Car and trunk rentals are down. I don't know that to be true. And smartphones are down 10% or 9%, which is okay. I have another recommendation.
Yeah?
Get the Samsung folding phone. That thing is unbelievable. The newest one.
Yeah?
My son has one.
It's crazy when it opens up and you show pictures and stuff on it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's got an OLED screen, I believe. But it has, it folds. It's, they've gotten all the bugs worked out of it because they had issues before. But now it folds up beautifully and pops open and it's just, and it's a stunner. It's a stunner.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little screen on the outside, yeah, so you don't have to really open it all the time.
That's smart. It's like a iPad and iPhone all wrapped into one.
Yeah, kind of.
I wonder why Apple's having so much trouble these days.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then what happened was, as I mentioned earlier, and I prepped this, we had the rates spike into 4.64% and 4.69%, and the rates with Lagarde being cut possibly, if they can make everybody believe whatever hypnosis that they're throwing on us, right? And if you don't believe the numbers, well, we go over to England, and we talk about this once-in-a-generation overhaul. Then 1:30 today, Tuesday afternoon, 16th of April, 2024, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, J. Powell, or just J, at a Canadian, in a Canadian forum, says recent data shows lack of progress on returning to 2% inflation goal. He says the U.S. economic performance has been quite strong. Oh, my. What do you think the markets did on that?
Well, I don't know, but it would, if I was me, I wouldn't react positively to such a thing.
No. Let me read what this says to the layman, okay? Go screw yourself. We're not reducing rates. We'll deal with it when the time is right. I don't give a crap what happens.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
And I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. And markets were like, oh, no. Markets went berserko. Now, that begs the question, what's the point of saying this? What's the point of being at a Canadian forum, 1:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday, 2 days after Iran has already initiated trouble and bombing in retaliation in Israel, and the markets are on edge? The yields are spiking already to 4.6%, and markets have not been in good shape for the last week. What is the point and the need to say something like this? It's such a time like this with such global stress in the system. I don't understand.
Maybe he's got his wife shorting the market.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, I'm surprised they don't do more stuff like that.
Well, they did. They got caught. A bunch of the guys left. They were buying up futures and all that crap as they were bailing out the government.
You know, there's no doubt in my mind that it's still going on.
Yeah, as they're bailing out bank left, bank A and to bank B, they're buying up the shares. Well, they can't actually trade in banks, but they did futures and things like that. And they got off with a, you know, that wasn't right. Nice work.
Yeah, that's
nice
best part.
Work, buddy.
Oh, I'm so sorry that happened.
Now, listen, you are no longer on the board. You take your $12 million that you made and get the hell out. You know? That's what it was, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't want any of that tainted money back. You keep it. You spend it. You have a nice life. You're not welcome back here. I'll call you tomorrow with a couple of tips. Right? Well, Wall Street Journal's Nick Timarios, who is a bit of a Fed whisperer, says Fed Chairman Jerome Powell dialed back rate reduction expectations at the Canadian Forum amid new inflationary uncertainty. Wow. That was something today. Markets got over it pretty well, though. Markets are in like, okay, I'm disgusted with this already. Let's just move on and start buying again. But a lot of names got, I mean, Tesla's gotten crushed.
Yeah, Tesla's
some of the banks got, some of the banks got to continue getting hit. And if you're not in the names like NVIDIA, AMD, ASML, a few of the other chip companies, some of the tech companies, everything got squashed. Not terrible. Yesterday was a bad day. Today was just, eh. And this is what I was talking about earlier, this safe haven thing. Bitcoin and other cryptos plunge when Iran sent missiles and drones. So yeah. We talked about that earlier.
That should be disconcerting to people that invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah. So earnings this week, we had plenty of banks, financials. We had Bank of America, Goldman Sachs. Netflix is this Thursday after the close. That should be fun. Procter & Gamble on Friday. So what we're starting to see is a bit of a picture being painted right now when it comes to the banks. We'll talk about their earnings. But then also when it comes to the rest of the economy. So Netflix will be interesting, although not very telling. People could be down to their last nickel, and they're going to either spend it on an iPhone or on their Netflix account. Pretty much all it is. But Procter & Gamble on Friday will be interesting because we're going to see a state of the consumer, particularly from the staples, the items that people have to have. Are they, in fact, somehow spending less or looking for options in terms of spending and looking to buy down? Or is it just business as usual? My take is some of this is built into this already. It's going to be slowing, and they're going to be coming out with a concerning, I would say a concerning commentary about people are spending less. Andy Jassy did it, said people are spending less last week. And he's the he's the CEO of Amazon, for those that don't know. So we have earnings. You want to talk about Goldman's earnings?
Sure.
So Goldman Sachs on Monday, it was yesterday, posted the first quarter profit and revenue that, of course, topped analyst expectations. Because they say, what do you have for us? We got $2.72 a share, buddy. All right, thank you. They come out, $2.82. You know, something like that. The bank said their profit jumped 28% to $4.13 billion, or $11.58 per share from the year earlier period, thanks to a rebound in capital markets activities. Now, one of the things that all these banks did is that they had to put aside money to pay the FDIC and really replenish the coffers for the bailouts that were done for Signature Bank and all the different banks that went belly up last year.
Yeah.
So that was something that was a one-time amount that each bank, we thought, there was seemed to be a secondary pull from these banks. So that was something interesting that we saw in some of these numbers. I think there was some concern that was given out, especially like JP Morgan. They said their first quarter profit rose 6% to $13.42 billion or $4.44 per share from a year earlier, boosted by its takeover last year of First Republic during the regional banking crisis. Remember they took that bank over?
Mm-hmm.
So they made they got a sweet deal. And they did well. But in guidance for 2024, the bank said it expected net interest income, or NII, of around $90 billion, which is essentially unchanged from its previous forecast. And what happened was that was relatively disappointing to investors, some who expected JP Morgan, many people did, to raise its guidance by $2 billion to $3 billion per year. So they didn't. Shares fell 6%. That's a lot for JP Morgan.
Interesting contrast with Goldman Sachs. What did you say?
That's a 6% drop for JP Morgan is a big number.
Yeah.
Very big. So Bank of America came out today. They reported first quarter earnings that topped analyst estimates for profit and revenue and better than expected interest income and investment banking. The bank said that profit fell. Now, these guys fell, so the other guys were up, right? Now, profit fell 18% to $6.67 billion or 76 cents a share, excluding a $700 million FDIC assessment. If you exclude that, they would have 83 cents. So that's what I was talking about. This one-time deal was a big thing. But revenue also slipped by 1.6% to just under $26 billion as net interest income declined again from a year earlier. So this theme that we're seeing here, I would suspect, though, that net interest margin, let me back it up. The reason that net interest margin declined from a year ago was because rates came down so significantly and the yield curve changed in a way that was even more detrimental. They were still making money, but it was detrimental to them. I think it's possible that with rates coming up a little bit, they could have a little bit of short-term problems here. But generally speaking, that should be a little bit better if the yield curve steepened a bit. But I haven't actually, in the last couple of days, looked at the yield curve since this 4.63%. I should do that. But that's an interesting point to watch. Because in that circumstance, if in fact they can get a little bit better yield curve action, they'll be doing pretty well with net interest margin moving forward. Is banking boring to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. But we got to talk about it. It's important. It's a big part of
it. You have to talk about it.
Big part of the markets.
These guys make most of the, they push everyone around.
They make most of the money out there too. Like a little spiff on everything we do. Now, China put the kibosh on AMD and Intel. Shares of AMD, better known as Advanced Micro Devices, and Intel dipped on Friday after the Wall Street Journal reported that China is ordering the country's largest communications carriers, the telecom firms, to cease using foreign chips.
What are they going to use instead?
Local chips that are basically knockoffs since they stole from us.
Oh, well, that makes sense. They're probably cheaper.
Of course.
Chinese they probably figure they're going to take over Taiwan eventually anyway, and that's where the big chip maker is, no matter what anyone likes to believe. In fact, it turns out that a lot of these TSMC and some of these other people that are supposed to be building plants in the United States under the CHIPS Act, now that they can't manage it because they can't get the right, they can't get any employees that are worth a crap because the rules are they have to do a lot of DEI hiring. And, you know, if you want to do that, you're not going to get people that know anything.
Yep.
So they've said they're backing off. Mm. This is the untold story. Mm. And now, of course, this takes place as China. There's no reason that within the next decade, China can't just have their own factories making chips without anybody.
Yeah.
Just license IP, even if they don't, or steal it, but they can license it. I mean, they can use ARM and some of these other places that just sell designs.
Yeah. Well, Chinese officials, what they did was they issued this directive early this year that for telecom systems to replace non-Chinese core processors by 2027. So they have 3 years to do it. Both stocks trade down as much as 4% on Friday. Why? Well, China accounts for 27% of Intel's revenue in 2023.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yep, making the company's biggest market. AMD generated 15% of sales from China, including Hong Kong.
Well, that's not good news for Intel.
No, that's a big chunk. You gotta wonder why they make that play like that if they know it's such a contentious relationship.
It's easy.
Right.
The reason they do it is because they got the sales guys sold the deal and they getting a lot of orders, and let's coast. You know, let's why hedge on this? You know, we're making tons of money. They dropped the hammer because of bad. I think a lot of it has to do with our keeping China from buying certain chips from other makers, including NVIDIA.
I still don't think that there's a lot of real clampdown on the sales of those high-end NVIDIA chips. They're almost like they're missing one piece, and all you got to do is find it somewhere and plug it in.
Maybe.
We'll see. Salesforce is acquiring the top maker of consumer relations software in advanced talks to acquire Informatica.
Informatica.
For $11 billion, Informatica is the enterprise cloud data management company. Provides artificial intelligence, AI-powered intelligent data management cloud platform, which connects, manages, and unifies data across any multi-cloud hybrid system, empowering enterprise to advance their data strategies. I don't know. Every time I read one of these things from one of these, I'm like, what the hell are they talking about?
I'm with you. This company is a lot of bull crap. You know, there's something that Informatica obviously has a patent, or they have something that Salesforce wants, and it's worth $11 billion to them. I just don't see it any other way.
A lot of money. All right, let's follow up here. Chickens and hot dogs, now gold. Wells Fargo expects revenue maybe running at $100 to $200 million a month. A rapid acceleration since bullion hit the warehouse club late in summer of 2023. Yes, indeed, Costco is selling gold bars.
I've never noticed this.
So let's take a look at this, because there's something interesting about this. Costco.
I go to Costco all the time. I've never seen a gold bar for sale.
Costco, 1 ounce gold bar, members only. Yeah, so I think they have it here. I have to sign in to see it. Members only item. It's a 1 ounce gold bar, PAMP Swiss Lady Fortuna Veriscan New in Assi, whatever the hell all that means. But it's 24 karat gold, limit of one transaction per membership with a maximum of 5 units. Item is not eligible for price adjustments. It's 1 ounce of 999.9 fine gold, minted bar with a proof like finish. Swiss made, carbon neutral, whatever the hell it means there. Each bar is individually controlled, registered, and secured with a protective something, an official assay certificate with a digital certificate, blah, 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 blah. So you have to sign in to see the price. And it's right about the price of gold. Here's the interesting thing about this. $200 to $300 million a month of this stuff they're selling. That's pretty unbelievable. I mean,
if it was anything else, I'd think it was some sort of money laundering scheme.
Mm. Costco is selling the 1 ounce bars made nearly a pure 24 karat gold. While the price is not disclosed online to non-members, estimated that it's generally about 2% above the spot price. There's a few catches. Sales are limited to 5, as we just looked at, up from 2 previously, but now you can buy 5. It's not really profitable. The 2% markup, yes. But you get back 2% for executive members and for certain cardholders.
Yes, if you're an executive member, you get a lot of money back.
But it adds 3% to the general merchandise sales, but not much profit.
What does that even mean?
So when you look at the total sales for the company, and now we're going to get a report, right? It's like, oh, Costco sales were up 3% for the year. Well, where did it come from? Well, obviously it came from the gold. So how much is that profitable on that? Nothing. But now they got a better revenue number and a better sales number. So it looks good.
It's a scam. I mean, you can buy the gold. It's real gold, I guess.
It's real gold. And they're selling stuff. But if we sold stuff for $100 that we basically bought for $98 and had a 2% back, well, that's 100. We don't make any money on it, but it looks like we're doing really well because we're selling stuff.
Yeah. Good for the bottom line.
Good for the top line, not the bottom line.
Top line.
Top line, not the bottom line. Yeah.
Right. There's nothing for the bottom
line. Nothing for the bottom line. All right, China. Fitch cut its outlook on China's sovereign credit rating to negative on last Wednesday, citing risks to public finances as the economy faces increasing uncertainty in its shift to a new growth model. The outlook downgrades, the downgrade follows a similar move by Moody's in December and comes as Beijing ratchets up its efforts to spur a feeble post-COVID recovery. See, we're still talking about COVID. Still talking about COVID. In the world's what are we talking about? 4 years now. In the world's second largest economy with fiscal and monetary support. So there you go. Now, if you think that's bad, how about going to Japan? Japanese workers' real wages fell in February for the 23rd consecutive month, suggesting higher prices kept a pressure on consumer spending appetite. So just hold a second. I want to read this again. Can we just go through this for a second? Let's go through this slowly. Japanese workers' real wages fell in February for a 23rd consecutive month. Let's break. Can we just talk about that for a second? What does that mean?
That means the, well, it means that the relative amount of money the Japanese are bringing in for the last 2 years, it goes down and down and down.
Right. So it says, now suggesting that higher prices kept a pressure on consumer spending appetite. I don't find that to be necessarily a correlation or a obvious.
Well, they're not getting wage cuts, so what's going on?
Their real wages.
So, you know, you're making X amount of money, so we're going to give you 10 cents an hour less. I haven't heard that's going on.
I don't know. It just seems like they're making this stuff up.
Yeah, there you go. That's possible.
And then I asked the question, how is this possible with little or no inflation? How are real wages falling if there's no inflation?
Technically not.
It doesn't make any sense.
But then how much are they falling? Are they falling 0.001?
Well, it said that inflation-adjusted real wages, which is a barometer of consumer purchasing power, fell 1.3% in February from a year ago, down for the 23rd straight month. Data from the Labor Department and Ministry showed. It's following a revised decline of 1.1% in January.
Well,
so
I think you should look into this.
Yep. It's more words. What do they call that? Word salad. Just word salad.
And what is the end game? What's the point?
I mean, I don't know. The point is you can't really raise rates because then real wages go down even more. So maybe it's the plan of the Bank of Japan to once again not do anything and hope to God that they can.
That's what they're good at.
Yeah, exactly. Not raise rates, keep them low. Talk about maybe raising them. Talk about the fact they don't want the yen above 150. It's 154 right now. So it's nuts. Over to Disney, Nelson Peltz. What?
I said they still make a good car.
They do. I like sushi. So got that going on. Good knives, too, by the way.
Yes.
Excellent.
They've always made good knives.
I would take a Japanese knife.
Do you have
knife.
A couple of those knives, those nice ones?
I have a few
Japanese,
of those.
Japanese butcher knife?
Yep. I have the steel ones. Yep. Japanese steel. They're good, right?
Well, they're killer.
Yep. Do you prefer those over German?
Yeah, I have mixed results with German products, German knives. Some of them are okay, depending on who it's saying. I think Henkel's okay. Tridents, Wusthof, are just no good.
I think they're too heavy.
At least the ones I had. Buy them anymore.
Chinese knives are just, they almost balance in your hand. The German ones are tail heavy.
Well, you're thinking of the Japanese knife.
Japanese knives are balanced in your hand. They're light. They move with you. It's graceful. It's an extension of your wrist. Where I find a German knife to be heavy in the handle.
I would say yes. The Japanese make the better knives. They're also very expensive.
Very expensive.
There's some Chinese clone knives, I will say, some cheap, what appears to be junk knives from China that are actually quite good.
Yeah, you just may have to buy two of them over the same amount of time, but who cares?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, over to Disney, Nelson Peltz loses Disney bid, but he won, actually. The fifth largest investor in Disney owns more than $3.5 billion in Disney stock. Now, the outcome has been positive because noting that Disney stock is up about 50% since October.
Yeah.
So these guys get in. They bid it up like crazy. They buy it up like crazy before anybody knows. They make an announcement, hey, we're going to become activists. We're going to go through a whole proxy battle. We want to be on the board. And then at the end, they're like, okay, well, we didn't get on the board. Oh, well, meanwhile, the whole time, because somebody believes change is going to happen, they move the deal up by 45, 50%.
Yep. Let's see how long it stays up there.
Beautiful. Chick-fil-A announced, this is frightening. It announced it's allowing certain antibiotics in its chicken, overturning a commitment it made in 2014. The company said in a recent statement posted on its website that the change will take effect in spring 2024 and is intended to maintain supply of high-quality chickens you expect from us. Huh? If you're lowering the quality, how is it intended to maintain supply of high quality?
Well, you can make the argument that the antibiotics are necessary to prevent bird flu.
Okay.
And you have a healthier chicken instead of a bunch of sick chickens. So the quality would be better, technically. That's what I would argue if I was in the chicken business.
Well, they said that in the statement, which was also sent as a notification to the chain's app users, that the antibiotics that they will be allowed to use are not important to human health and are only administered if the animal and those around it were to become sick. So one chicken looks at the other one and says, hey, a little stuffy there, Stan. He says, go talk to the guy. You're going to get a little, the good news. You don't have to deal with this stuff like we used to. Go over there. We'll give you a little pill. You drink it down with a little water. You'll be fine. So I guess that's good news. A couple more things here. Trend. I wonder if this is a trend. For the second year in a row, the number of students earning a bachelor's or associate degree declined, according to a recent report by the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center. Overall, undergraduate degrees fell 3% in 2022-23 academic year. The steepest decline ever recorded, report found, where bachelor's degree earners sank to the lowest level in nearly a decade after notching a one-year loss of almost 100,000 graduates. Now, meanwhile, the number of students earning a certificate hit a 10-year high. And that's kind of interesting because very much of a different story where they're talking that the real desire and growth in vocational programs.
Yeah, welding, tax preparation. There's a lot of stuff you get degrees from.
Yeah, a lot of money to be made in this. How about just driving a truck?
Driving a truck. That's probably more profitable than having a bachelor's degree in gender studies.
Yep. That's UC Berkeley, isn't it?
Everywhere.
Well, we're in Florida. We don't have this stuff anymore. DeSantis,
they actually have going on at University of Florida. Can we go on?
Have I ever been there?
No, I'm just saying I wonder what kind of screwball courses they have at the University of Florida. I'm sure they're there.
Yeah, of course they are. But I haven't heard DeSantis' name in a while. Have you?
A couple of weeks, maybe.
He dropped off. And Tesla, bad news keeps on coming. Job cuts, lowering prices on cars, bad numbers in China, more Cybertruck issues. And many are now saying that they're officially out of the Mag 7. See ya. You were magnificent as long as you paid me off. As long as I made money on your back, I loved you. Now, get the heck out.
Well, I'm unfamiliar with this.
With what part?
The Mag 7.
The Magnificent 7. The Netflix, the NVIDIA, the Apple.
Oh, you're talking about the guy. Oh, the stock. Yes.
The stocks. The seven stocks.
The seven ridiculous stocks that were overvalued, and most of them still are.
Yeah.
Netflix.
But they're saying they're out. You're out. You're done. Get out.
Oh. It all began when he bought Twitter.
Yes, that's true. Things went downhill very sharp. Oh, Canada. Oh, Canada. Canada will raise capital gain. Listen to this. You want to know why you don't want to live in Canada? This is the reason. Canada will raise capital gains tax on businesses and wealthy individuals to help pay for tens of billions in new spending aimed at making housing more affordable and improving the lives of young people. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland said the government will take Canadian companies, tax them on 2/3 of their capital gains, up from half.
Ooh, that's a good one.
2/3.
It's already high at half.
You know, they say 2/3 because it sounds like it's 2/3 maybe a little less than a half or something. You know, the people don't have, you know, the old quarter pounder versus a third
of
pounder.
Yeah, that's where they, yeah, and they have the, that's improving the lives of young people. So they yes. can't do math.
Yes, of course. The change will also apply to individual taxpayers when they have gains over 250,000 Canadian or 181,000 a year. People will still be able to sell their homes, though, that they live in tax-free. So now you get people to buy homes, figure that they're going to go up in price. I'll use it as my investment, hopefully, and then I can sell it tax-free one day. Meanwhile, we're going to tax the corporations in Canada, whatever they are, whoever the three corporations are in Canada that still want to be there. 2/3, 66% on capital gains.
Yeah, high.
Amazing. Just amazing. It's amazing. What else do we got to talk about? Close
these
to the pin
are people,
coming?
These are people who are in government that have no clue about how the world works or operates or even how businesses, what's needed for a business to stay in business.
Right.
They just look at these big giant, they look at a company like Apple, look at all that money.
Wow, let's get it. I want it. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Let's just go back to a quick plug here. Mentioned before, somebody in the chat room asked, No Agenda Show host John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry. That's on Thursdays at 2 p.m. and on Sundays 2 p.m. Or you can find that on any one of your favorite podcast apps, etc. Also, make sure to check out The Disciplined Investor. I spend some time each and every week, usually with some guests that are quite the best in the business. And we talk about all things about finance. We talk about whether it's cryptocurrencies or options. We talk about educating you in all sorts of areas. So check that out.
It's one of the best podcasts there is.
Thank you so much. That's very nice of you.
It is.
Thank you. The close to the pin for Apple is still open just for a little while longer. So you can get on it over at dhunplugged.com. And right now, let's see, we got 3 days, 1 hour, 58 minutes, and 31 seconds until the Apple close to the pin closes to new investors.
New investors. As the Apple stock slides.
New price guesses for the game. All right, let's go.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Now, I'd like to say something before we begin this and to tell you something, if you don't mind, and then you can take the list from there. Your pick of Trump Media and Technology, see GJT right there?
Yeah.
It was booted. But can I talk? I want to talk about this. Because you said it was a 50-cent stock. Now, I want to bring this up. What price does it say that you were tossed?
I'm sorry?
What price does it say that you were tossed?
It says 41.05.
Okay. Huh, that's interesting.
So I made $10 on the play, up 19%. Let's, supposedly.
This is not working. This is very fascinating, actually. This happened before. Symbols DJT, right?
Yeah.
And it's currently trading at, wait, tell me again, what is the price that you sold it at?
41.05.
Close today at 22.84.
Yeah, well, there you go. 2284. So we'd be up like 30%, 40%. Yeah. It'd be a winner.
Yep.
I think I got.
You'd be up more than that. You had 51. You'd be at 50%.
48%. 50%. That's a big winner. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wouldn't have, probably would not have sold it because I'm a believer. That would set what is the thesis? 50 cent stock.
I think that he, yeah. There was a big move the other day that a new plan closed down 18% on Monday after the company disclosed plans that allow existing investors to exercise stock warrants. What's unbelievable is that so soon after it became public, it's down 62% since March 26th from the opening price of $70.90 the day to around $27. Market capitalization is slashed by $6 billion, leaving around $3.7, which is still about $3.69999 more than it's worth.
Yeah, 50 cents.
Trump media predicted that following that, it would receive up to an aggregate of approximately $247 million from the excess. So I don't know who's getting this. I thought he wasn't allowed to sell it, but I don't know.
I have no idea what's going on. It's just a, you know, it's
another scam.
It's another scam.
That's all. Simple as that. You want to take the rest of the list?
A few good things on here. Reddit is still falling like a rock. I have a short on that. It's doing well. You went long on Boeing, and you're getting to the point where it's going to get kicked.
Yep.
My short on Boeing is still doing well. Mm-hmm. Just to brag. Then again, if I wanted to, if someone wanted to brag, there's some. But he has Shark Ninja, one of the best picks of the. He also did Microsoft or Amazon.com up 45%, which is the winner on this whole chart, and that's yours. In the last couple of weeks, is this CarMax new? Or is this the one you did last?
CarMax time? I did last week.
It's already up 13%. That was a good one. That was a short. Mm-hmm. So the shorts are all doing well. In fact, I'm looking at all the shorts. Every short is up.
Yep. How the tide does turn.
And we've been doing this long enough that you look at these things and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shorts and they're all up and this happens. And then they won't work anymore probably in a month or two.
Yeah, but while they do it, this is the really interesting question. When do you hit it hard? You know, the market's starting to roll down, but then they pick up. Last week, we had a couple of days of really ugliness, then one day, whack, right back up. And when they go, they go. So then they roll down a little bit again. So you get really no real major movement. I mean, here we have some things that had nice movement. But, you know, the thing is, are we in a downtrend right now? Or is it just a consolidation that's going to then just all of a sudden pick back up and start on its way again? That's the big question.
Yeah, and that's the question you have to ask, and that's why you don't go all in on shorting everything.
Right, exactly. All right, well, that's going to end the show tonight. Anything else that you would like to talk about, say, or just want to get back to your HBO special?
I don't care about that now. They've been paving all day, and so my sense of time was off, so I missed the...
Are they paving with, like, tar? What do they use out there?
The front of the street. I can't go out into the street for 24 hours.
So they use tar, though, or that black paver?
No, they use some pavement stuff, some goo. It's not tar because it doesn't stink. It's asphalt, but it's something, and I don't even know. It's odd because they don't even have a thing that's driving over it, you know, the heavy, whatever those are called, steamrollers. They don't have any of those, and it's just lay it down and stay off of it and don't drive on it, and then it'd be good to go. I have no idea what the technology is.
You know the old steamroller joke, don't you?
No. What?
There was a guy, he was Bob. He was run over by a steamroller. His wife ran to the hospital and visited him in room 204, 205, 206, and 207.
Ah, okay. That's cute.
Yeah. Funny. All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.